I'd like to offer you this Bible text as a text for our sermon today. It's from John 20, beginning with verse 19, just five verses 19 through 23. And I want to set the context for this so that we know this is a post-resurrection experience of Jesus, an appearance of Jesus. It's John's version of what happens late in the day on Easter after Jesus has been raised. And listen to the impact that it has on those who had been walking and talking and teaching and healing with him, to know that he was still with them. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. When it was evening that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the best parts of this story of Jesus' post-resurrection experiences or appearances to the disciples and others is that the prerequisite for it happening was that they were all together in one place. That's what it means to gather as saints of the church, to gather together, and Christ's presence is made more real to us when we are together. The Spirit of the risen Lord is more alive and more lively among us when we are together. We assemble. And when we do, we bring each of us gifts. And I don't mean gifts you put in the offering plates. I mean the gifts that you have in your spirit. A spirit of listening. A smile, a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of generosity. A spirit of a different language. And if Pentecost is anything, it is a gathering of people of different languages and different nationalities. And it took the Spirit of God to bring them together. And to make it so that the words were understood by all. That list of different countries that I read as I walked to different places around the room is an example. All of those people are different languages, different nationalities. And we have the same thing in our modern culture. We need to be bound together by God's Spirit. It's not just about nationality either. It's about different opinions, different preferences, or different understandings of life and how it is. We are not called to judge each other. We are called to be one in spite of our differences, which are many. To be one, to be unified as one in God's Holy Spirit. If nothing else, at least in our language of faith, let us be one in Him. We have the Genesis story about the Tower of Babel. That's where we get our word babbling, you know? When you're babbling in words that people can't understand, that word is related. It comes from the Tower of Babel, where God, we are told, confused the languages of the people. They had gotten too ambitious, and they were trying to build a tower that would reach heaven so they wouldn't need God. And God confused their languages so they couldn't communicate with each other. It's one of the Bible's accounts for why we have so many different languages. But the day of Pentecost sort of undid that. Because on Pentecost Day, people were all made to understand Peter's preaching in their own language. A few years ago, Kathy and I got to attend a world gathering of Gideon's International in Dallas, at the Dallas Convention Center downtown. I've been a fan of the work of the Gideons for sharing scriptures with people, and all over the world, we don't realize how complex that is. But at this gathering, we had a lovely dinner, and it was wonderful in every way. But the real treat was the languages that we heard after the dinner. The presenters made their talks over a microphone so that all of us could hear, but some of them were in languages that we could not understand. And many of the speakers who spoke in English, and we could understand fine, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the room who could not understand. Many of them were wearing headphones or holding a little thing that looked like a phone receiver. Many of them dressed in beautiful, colorful clothing of their native lands from Europe and Asia and the Middle East, all over the known world. Each of them were holding some kind of a device so that the words that were being spoken in the podium through the microphone could be translated into their language so they could understand. It was a dramatic scene, and it was very impressive. What was even more impressive is when we sang a hymn, a familiar hymn. You could probably guess which one was the one that most every culture would know. I'm sure you could. I hear it. You got it. Because that hymn, Amazing Grace, has been translated into probably every language known to humankind. But to hear us sing that and other hymns, and to hear the echoing of the different voices and the different wailing and the different wording around that room was dramatic. It was also dramatic to see the colors of the attire and the expressions on their faces. You could see the flames of the Spirit dancing. It was like the breath of God. Jesus' breath, too, was like the breath of God. When Jesus breathed on the disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," it was an acknowledgement of God's action and God's breath, the very breath of life. In one of the creation stories, God forms and fashions a human creature out of the soil. Humus. Soil of the earth. And then blows. Breathes into that lump the breath of life. And that clay, that humus, becomes a living thing. It's very natural for us to breathe in and to breathe out. Even in the largest cycles of life, as we learn and grow, we are inspired and we breathe it in. And when we breathe our last, we expire and breathe out. It's important. Breathing. And it's important to understand that it is from God who is the source. God is spirit, and spirit is air. That's why we talk about respiration. There's that S-P-I-R root in the middle of that. Respiration is breathing. It is in taking the spirit and then in exhaling it out again. We also use that root to talk about inspiration. In a faith sense, we are inspired to new ways of understanding. We are, as we breathe in new ideas, we inhale, we take in oxygen, but we also take in what people say around us, what we read in Scripture, what we hear in the great music of the world that we say is inspiring. This is a complex word, but it's all about S-P-I-R, which is about breathing and about spirit. No coincidence that we call the very essence of God spirit or breath. It is the most profound and the most essential thing that we have and need. The very most basic thing. When you can't breathe, you can't live. And when your faith can't breathe in and be inspired, then your faith can't live either. Good things happen to us when we breathe. Let us breathe out weariness. Let us breathe out grieving, complaining. Let us breathe out hurt and disappointment. Let us breathe out grief and darkness. And let us breathe in the very life-giving, breath-giving spirit of the Creator who calls us together today in one place to be filled with that spirit. And who brings us to life and sustains us with grace and hope and with the very air that we breathe.